Have you been listening to the podcast and getting value from the show? If so, I've got a small favor to ask, because over the next few months, we're going to be making some changes to better serve you. Now, I could keep creating episodes based on what I think would be most helpful, but I would much rather get this right. So instead of guessing, I want to understand where you are right now and the real challenges you, your organization, and your team are facing. That's why I've put together a very short 90-second survey. It'll help me better understand you and how I can serve you at a much higher level. And as a thank you, the first 30 people who complete it will receive a free signed copy of one of our books. To take part, just go to the show notes and click the link titled Leadership Survey. Or you can go directly to letsgrowleaders.com/podsurvey. PODSURVEY. It'll take less than 2 minutes. I really appreciate your input. It will genuinely help shape the future of the show.
You probably have done a workshop that tells you what your leadership strengths are or what your leadership style is. That's helpful until it's not. If you say, or if you even sometimes excuse your behavior because that's my style, those are my strengths, it's not helpful anymore.
Welcome to Leadership Without Losing Your Soul, a podcast helping human-centered leaders master communication to accelerate your team's performance, reduce stress, and build a career with the respect and influence you deserve. I'm your host, David Dye, president of Let's Grow Leaders. Hey, welcome to the show. If it feels like the world is changing faster than ever, you're in the right place because in this episode, you're going to get a roadmap and tools to help you lead through uncertainty and change and not just get through it, but to lead with confidence. And you're going to get some tools to help improve your decision-making, decrease your anxiety and stress, increase your sense of influence and control, and even improve your relationships. And here to help us do all of that is Kevin Eikenberry, the Chief Potential Officer of the Kevin Eikenberry Group, a leadership consulting company centered on a philosophy of lifelong learning. His latest book, and that's what we're going to be talking about today, is Flexible Leadership, Navigate Uncertainty, and Lead with Confidence. Kevin, welcome to Leadership Without Losing Your Soul.
David, thank you for having me. We've been together virtually a lot of times, but this is the first time when I've been on your show, when I'm on the spot.
I love it too. And we actually got to spend some time together almost a year ago. And that was awesome too. And we were talking college hoops back then, and your folks from Purdue did all right that year.
We did. And although as of this recording, we've had a couple of rough outings. I think when people are starting to hear this, when it first comes out, we're still going to be playing ball.
All right. Well, let's keep your fingers crossed then. My team, and we're not even going to talk about my team today because they are off to a horrible start this year. So we'll just let that one go. All right. We're going to talk flexible leadership here. But before we do, Kevin, could I invite you to take us as far back as you want to go, but to one of your earliest memories of yourself as a leader, and tell us about what comes up for you?
Well, I think in many ways I've found myself in leadership roles from an early age. And we could talk about leadership in terms of role, noun. We could talk about leadership in terms of verb, action. But let's
you
just
get
talk
to
about
pick.
Role.
You get to pick.
Yeah. Well, so we'll just make it easy and not go too deep too soon here. But I do think that I found myself in lots of leadership roles. I mean, I was the class officer in my high school for 3 or 4 years. I was involved very significantly at Purdue as a student leader in a variety of roles, helped to create an organization that created a bunch of scholarship money over about 3 years that we created from scratch. So from a positional perspective, I've had a lot of that from an early age. But, you know, I grew up on a family farm with a family agricultural business. And my dad gave me lots of opportunities to lead, make decisions, really lead others that worked for us, have a direct hand with customers from really a very young age. So I had a lot of early experiences that helped me move in the direction of my life's work.
That combination of responsibility and influence both in those and how those work together from early on. When we're talking change and uncertainty, Kevin, as we get into flexible leadership, we're in an era right now, almost day to day. We've got different policy decisions, different world events, different all kind of, it seems like the environment and atmosphere are as volatile and changing as ever. Whether you like it or not, it's immaterial. That's just kind of the reality we're in. What else is going on from your perspective that prompted you to write this book? When you talk about the need for flexible leadership and dealing with uncertainty and change, because it does feel that way for many leaders, but what specifically prompted you to go there?
Well, the ideas in this book have been in my head, and I've been working on them for quite a long time. But let's just take a simple thing. So, about 5 years ago, from the time you and I are having this conversation, Corona was mostly still a beer. It wasn't. We started to hear about a virus 5 years ago, but about the time this is coming out into the world, it will be 5 years since everything shut down. We sent everybody home. Right. So let's just go back a little bit before that. Right. So the before times. And what we would say is that everyone who's listening to this, if you were leading then, you would probably say you were doing the best you knew how to do, and you were leading however you were leading. And you would say, I mean, I'm probably not doing bad, but you knew that you could be more effective. Fair statement, right? And so here's the thing. If you have stayed in that same basic vein, right? If you're leading, generally speaking, in the same way that you were before all that change, do you think that the world has conspired to move closer to your personal status quo? I think that's highly unlikely. I think the statistical analysis of that would say not so fast, right? So here's the reality. The reality is that the world is changing, so we must be willing to adjust and flex. That doesn't mean we change everything. It means we have to be intentional and smart about it. We'll get to that, I'm sure. You know that Wayne Trammell and I wrote a book called The Long Distance Leader a long time ago, and this was before the first edition came before the pandemic, several years. And in that book, we wrote that think leadership first, location second. And our point there was that not everything about leadership is changing. In fact, it's more the same than not. But the things that are different are really super important. And that's what we're talking about here today. Like if we want to deal with uncertainty better, we have to learn how to intelligently flex, because that's the way that we can take some of the sting out, some of the anxiety out, some of the stress out of the uncertainty for ourselves and our teams.
Yeah, absolutely. And you were starting to make that point that while so much is changing, and you make this point in the book as well, is that there's also a lot that isn't. And so let's tease that out just a little bit. When you're talking about, yeah, back when you first did the leadership, then location, so forth, and there's the things that are consistent, but then there are the things that have changed that really are meaningful. Just give us a couple of examples from both of those columns. What is consistent, but what is not, and really important that we acknowledge.
Yeah, so what's not changed is human nature. What's not changed are group dynamics. What's not changed is the factors that lead people to choose to change or not to choose to change. What's not changed is the fact that collaboration is important, and the ways in which it happens largely haven't changed. Here's what has changed: context. Context has changed vastly. And in fact, the nature of our work, our workplace, our environment, and all those things are likely more complicated and complex than they've been before. And so the nuance that we need as a leader is to know what would we flex and when would we flex it. So very quickly, let's think about this. You can probably look out of a window, or you can picture it right now, or you can picture this in your head of a tree that's 20, 30, 40, 50 years old. And what you would say about this is that tree is stable. That tree is rooted, and it is strong because it's strongly rooted. And so if we as leaders are like that tree, we are rooted in our values, our principles, those principles we just spoke of, as well as our mission and our vision and our why. Like that's the stuff that gives us stability and strength and consistency. And yet we can't, it's not, the tree is not just solid. The tree is also flexible. Look at the branches, even in the winter, and you can see that they flex and bend and are pliant. Pliant being a synonym of flexible. And so we need to be able to have both and recognize both, ultimately, if we want to be more effective in this changing world.
I'm a big tree guy, so I love a good tree analogy. And that's such a good one about rooted in our values, rooted in what's important, but able to flex and move with the changing circumstances as well. So let's take that metaphor and make it, get it down to the level of flexible leadership. What does a flexible leader look like? When you're thinking about it, and we'll stay at the broad level, then we're going to get into some of the details. But so if the solution to navigating all of this uncertainty is that groundedness and yet flexibility, what does that look like in practice?
Well, what it looks like in practice, David, is that the leader who is flexible must be intentional. Because here's the thing. You know, you and I are standing on the shoulders of people that have been doing leadership development work and study and creation for the last 80, 90 years, let's say. And you and I are now in part of that. We are part of that tree, right? And yet, and if we look back at all those folks, some of whom we both know and others who were wise to create the kinds of tools and strategies they created, one of the things they built were models. They built models about leadership style, and they built models about strengths, and they built models about communication styles and approaches. All of that stuff is very useful. And it's helpful because it helps us take a very complex world and simplify it enough that we can get our arms around it. But the problem is that as we become well-schooled in Myers-Briggs, DISC, StrengthsFinders, servant leadership, facilitative leadership, pick it, as we get whatever those things might be, and you might have several of those in your background, like the more that you focus on that, the more that you dial into that as how you lead. But what you've done is you've tried to now, we have already taken nuance out of the world when we created the model. And now if you lock into the model as your identity, you've taken all of the nuance out. And so we've gotten pretty far away from what the real world looks like when we're there. And so a flexible leader doesn't let those things become their identity. So they're aware that the world isn't an either or world, but is a both and world. And that as leaders, we have to recognize in the complexity, in the uncertainty, that there's more than one effective approach. And it's not necessarily the one that we're most comfortable with, that is our automatic response or our learned response, that is will get us the results that we want.
I think that's an important decision distinction to recognize what are our natural tendencies and what is, if I'm right or left-handed or right-armed or whatever it
right.
is, what do I naturally tend to do? But the reason to know that is so that I can then be aware of that tendency and flex, as you're saying, to meet the needs of the situation that I'm actually leading in.
100%. So again, if we stay with our natural inclination, see, here's the wonderful thing about habit. Like if we didn't have natural inclinations and habits, we wouldn't be able to survive, right? We have to have, like, we have to be able to say, we just go and do that. We don't think about brushing our teeth as a simple example. Like we just brush our teeth, right? But like, if you learned something new about toothbrushing, And you wanted to apply that new thing, you'd have to work on changing your habit. And if you didn't work on changing it, you'd go back and revert back to the other way. Now, so leading is far more complex, obviously, than brushing our teeth. But the fact is the same. Like, I'm not saying we should throw out our habits. I'm saying we need to know what our habits are so we can decide with some wisdom whether it's serving us right now. So here's a very simple way to think about this, and I know you've read the book, and we'll probably unpack more stuff. But let me just say this: this isn't in the book. Like, I wasn't smart enough, David, to have figured out this idea exactly before the book. Here's the thing: if you've ever had someone come to you as a leader and said, "Here, what should we do here?" and in your head you say, "Well, it depends," or even if you say, "Well, it depends," like in the moment that you realize it depends, what does it depend on? And how would you change your advice based on those depends? And that, at some level, in a very simple way, is what flexible leadership looks like. It looks like being aware that I might want to flex and having a way to have a cue or a clue to say, let me consider that before I do my automatic response. And then the rest of what we try to do is give you some very specific ways to do that. So we call it intention plus context. What does it depend on? And then what we call the flexors. And those three things together, added together, those three things help us truly be a flexible leader as we define it, or as I define it.
Love it. And there is so much. And I'm just going to preface this by saying, listeners, you're going to want to get this book because Kevin and I are going to unpack a few things for you. And I want to do enough to get you a taste and actually get you some practical things that you're going to be able to use to start being the kind of leader and moving that direction that Kevin's talking about. And there is so much more, very, very rich resource here for you. So, okay, well, let's get into this roadmap and framework a little bit then, Kevin. So the intention, context, and the flexors that we're talking about. And, yep. And you break the book up in terms of mindset and then skills, skill set, and then habit set. And that mindset piece is so critical that you unpack for us there. And I think that would be a great place for us to start as we're getting in the conversation.
Yeah, well, I've hinted at a couple parts of it already, right? One is, number one, do I even buy into the idea that being flexible is a good thing? Because some people would say, well, I ought to be consistent. People ought to know what they're going to get with me and all that stuff. And so hopefully we've helped your mindset there to say it's not just, am I consistent or am I flexible? But how much of each? And the reality is it's a both and world. And that's the second thing I'll say, that the mindset is that there's more than one way to be effective. And we even really already know that, right? Because you could make a list of five people you think of as being highly effective leaders. And the first thing you would say is, well, they don't all do it the same way.
Yeah.
And they all get, at least in certain situations, get really great results. So we sort of intuitively know that, but we don't really want to apply that and think about it for us. I was on another podcast recently and someone said, everyone thinks people ought to be flexible leaders except ourselves. Like everyone ought to be flexible. Like I'm pretty confident, comfortable where I'm at. I may not be confident, but I'm comfortable.
Human nature.
Human nature. Exactly. Good for them. Not so much for me.
Because it takes work. It takes being willing to be uncomfortable and do some things differently that don't come naturally.
I'm absolutely saying, and I say it in the book, that the path of choosing to be a flexible leader as I define it makes the complex job of leading actually harder before it makes it easier. Because it's plotting us towards having to confront the habit and confront the style and to confront our identity. And it's a much easier path to not having that conversation. That's why you have to think about the mindset first. What's the point? I can give you, David and I can give you all sorts of tools and in any of our books, either one of our books. And if you don't really buy the idea in front of it or believe it's important or useful, it doesn't matter how beautiful the toolkit is. It doesn't matter how well we explain the skills. It doesn't matter how much you intellectually understand them, because you won't do anything because we don't have the precursor.
Yeah, exactly. When you're talking about that mindset and whether we're buying in or not, and that some of the built-in kind of automatic reflexive conflict people might have around consistency versus flexibility. Yeah. And as I was reading and your treatment of that, you know, one of the things I thought about is that these are, and you said it's a both and. I don't even know that it's like they're not even opposite of each other. I can be consistent in terms of my application of values to different situations and yet choose way different leadership behaviors depending on the circumstance. So it's like, that's where the both and comes for me. I don't know. Am I on target here?
Yeah, no, 100%. So like, I think I say somewhere in the book that we tend to think of these things as either or, as if they are opposite or separate. And that really is part of the problem,
yeah,
right? It's part of the problem to define them as, do you want to be flexible or do you want to be consistent? Well, I want to be both. And in the right context, to choose wisely. Now, ultimately, that's the point here, right? That to recognize that there's a choice that we can make if we choose to make it, and that the right answer, there's a tension between them, right? And what we're describing here is a flexor, although it's not one of the 19 in the book, but it's the idea that there's a tension between consistency and flexibility. It doesn't make them opposite. It makes them symbiotic.
With any organizational values, you know, that's another thing that we can choose to look at it in terms of to maybe help people with is, you know, if I'm an organizational value of white glove treatment and work-life balance, there's tension. You know, if I go one way or the other and too far, and if I get inflexible in either direction, like you have to live in that tension of those things if you're going to succeed in even something like organizational values, much less our leadership day to day.
Well, you just hinted at something again. It's not one of the flexors in the book. In fact, I say, like, I've got these 19 flexors that I've described, but once you get this in your head, you're going to say there's so many more. And it becomes a way of thinking about the world differently. So, you know, lots and lots and lots has been written about work-life balance. Well, there's all sorts of challenges and problems with that. But fundamentally, they're saying, which am I going to choose? Right? And they are in tension. Right? So the question is, which direction do I need to lean at what point in my life, at what season of my life, what day of the week, based on what's going on with my family tomorrow, like all of those things. There's not like a place. So much of that conversation is about like, what's my balance point? No, the world is always changing. Your situation is always changing. Where I want or need to, or would be most blessed in leaning is the answer here. It's managing, dealing with, acknowledging that tension is the key here.
And that's what actual balance is. You know, like any of us right now stand up on one foot, and as soon as we're on one foot, there's a constant adjustment of our muscles are shifting,
exactly.
our arms are waving at all the things. It is no different.
And oh, by the way, our muscles are flexing, as it turns out.
There you go. You know, so, and when we're talking about this flexing, and we've said this, and you said it explicitly, but we've been coming to it a number of different ways, context, 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 that the choices that we need to make as a leader depend. They depend on the context, on what's going on. And one of the maps, tools, ways of thinking in the chapter on sense making for our success that you introduce and then use throughout there, and I think this is really valuable, although it is a 2x2 matrix, and so describing those for
ish.
Our listeners.
I mean, ish. I mean, the developer would say it's not really quite, but for our purposes here, to simplify it for the purposes of this conversation, you can think about it as such. That's correct.
Fairly said. And like every other bottle, right, that we have to be careful about as you set us up with not getting too locked in on that. Okay, but this framework is called, you go through the pronunciation, so I got to see if I got this right. Is it the Kinevan framework? All right.
You get an A. You're only the second podcast I've been on, the person got it right, and the other one, they already knew the framework. So you're the first person that this was new information to that said it right. Trust me, everybody.
Well,
It
is not spelled like Kinevan. But in fairness to, well, I don't know, to you and my hope that others would get it right, I'm surprised to be the first one who did not know the name. I'm familiar with the framework. I did not know it by that name. I just pick up pieces here and there. And for readers of the book, Kevin gives you the pronunciation guide and quizzes you on it in the book. So it's all there. So just
well, see, it rhymes with my name. So that should make it easier, right?
It's not Kevin's framework. It's the Kenevan framework. So there we
go. Right. And that's just a happy coincidence, the fact that it rhymes.
Well, let's walk us through this, because this is a way to think about the it depends and the different circumstances we find ourselves in. And so it's a very powerful framework. So let's go ahead.
So the Kenevan framework was created at the start, and the curator of it, if you will, is Dave Snowden, and it's been around for quite a long while, and it's mostly been used to look at big issues, like broader issues, to help us see context. And what I'm trying to bring to the table in this way is to think about how I can use it at a more granular, a more in the moment, a more what's happening for me and my team right now kind of a way. So it does have four parts. I'm going to start at the bottom right corner with the kind of context that most of us are comfortable with and the one that we assume most of the time. And it's called the clear context. It's the context where we know the causes and effects. We know that if we do this, this is how we can find root cause analysis. We can apply processes. We can find best practices. The knowns are known, and we pretty much have it. And like, we can make decisions and have confidence in them. And things are pretty clear.
Life's pretty predictable in that setting.
I did not just describe most of our lives, but you know, David and I have been doing this thing called working for a long time. And when we first started working, more of the world was a lot more like this than it is now. If this is a way to say that the world is more uncertain than ever, because quite honestly, it is. I mean, before I started my company 31 years ago, I worked for Chevron. Had a great opportunity and a great time working at Chevron, learned a tremendous amount. It was a well-run company then, it's a well-run company now. And when I was there in the late 80s, the big focus was best practices. And best practices are awesome in a world of clarity. Right. But sometimes the practices can't be quite that clear. Sometimes the context isn't quite that clear. Sometimes there are things that are unknown. We know that they're unknown, but we don't know them. Like, we can say we don't know about this, 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 or this. And so it's no longer clear. And the Kenevan framework would say it's now a complicated context. And we need to lean into people who might have different expertise areas, different perspectives, to help us bring a little bit of known to those unknowns, or even do what I call plausible cause analysis to say, okay, what could it be? We don't know. It could be any one of these seven things. I don't know which of them it is, but what choices could we make that would address more than one of those? Like, what could we do to increase our odds that we might get a useful result? And then we go, so we went up to the top right corner. If we want to go to the left now, diagonal from clear is complex. And we use that word all the time in our world. In the Kenevan framework, it basically says there are things that we don't know, and we know we don't know them. There are unknown unknowns, if you will. And so in this context, best practices are going to give us all kinds of unintended consequences, because we're trying to apply something as if, well, we sort of know enough stuff, and when we do this, it's going to work, it's going to be fine, and it's probably going to be about as fine as it is when your spouse or significant other says it's fine, which is way less than perfect and maybe not even all that good, right? So I would propose to all of us that we spend much more of our time as leaders at work in complicated and complex contexts than we do in clear contexts. Here's the fourth one. Also, another word that in the case of the framework, it's misused. So we've got clear, complicated, complex, and the fourth one is chaotic. Well, a lot of us would say, well, my work is chaotic. My life is chaotic, not according to Snowden. Like, He would say, well, what you're saying is it's probably either complicated or complex most of the time. Here's my best, Kevin, in Kevin's head, best example of a truly chaotic work situation. You are running a plant or have some sort of application. You're working at a facility on the Gulf Coast of the United States, and there's a hurricane coming. But you don't know exactly when it's going to land, where exactly it's going to land, which side of it you're going to be on, how it will impact you, how long it's going to last. And neither does anyone else know those things. The only thing you know is that one's coming. And that's truly chaos. And so in that case, there's no best practice. There's no even good practice. There's like when one of two things happens here. Either people bowl their way through it and really maybe make really bad decisions, or they become immobilized and do nothing. Here's what your team wants you to do in that case. Here's the time that what your team wants from you is command and control style leadership. Is you need to just make a decision. Let's do something. Maybe we're going to change it in an hour, but we need to do something. Here's what we're going to do. Nope, new information. Here's what we're going to do. And you know what? People will be okay with that. And the reason I actually use those words command and control is that most people say, oh, I don't want to be that kind of leader. And I would say, in the relatively rare cases where that's the case, that's exactly where we ought to go. But if our identity says, well, I don't want to do that, then we won't go there. And so imagine in true chaos that you try to act like, let's go try to build consensus here. Like, that's like the worst thing that you could do in that moment. This is an example of our natural tendency might take us in a direction that doesn't serve us or our team based on context.
And context. Yeah, when you're saying that, I'm thinking if there is a baseball flying at my head and I'm not aware of it, I want somebody to yell, "Duck, David, duck!" Command and
I
control.
love
Like, give
that.
me the directive. That's what's
Yeah.
going to serve me in that moment.
Exactly. No, that's a great example.
And there's not really time for a conversation if we're going to
Hey,
avoid
you
it.
might want to consider, boom, and you've already been
Yeah,
hit,
or
right?
somebody says, "Duck." Well, now why? Can you explain the why? I'd love to know the why, but not in that context. Yeah. Okay. Clear, complicated, complex, chaotic, and clear and chaotic. I got you. I just want to tease a level deeper so that we can tease out complicated versus complex. What's the difference between those?
Well, in complicated contexts, we can probably spend the time and get information to make a better decision. Like, there's probably expertise that exists. Maybe it doesn't exist in our organization, but it does exist. Like, it's closer, it adjoins clear. Like, we don't know what all those things are, but we could probably unpack it enough to get us to a place. We can get enough different perspectives from the team. We could get enough different sets of experiences and expertise to help us get a lot closer to something we could feel pretty comfortable with. Complex, not so much.
All
Can I
right.
give you an example? I've used this
I would
example
love
a
to.
few times. I think it's in the book, that I think is helpful to think about what happens a lot of time when we misapply the context. So we talked earlier about the pandemic, right? And we sent everybody home, and then at some point later, 2 years later, 3 years later, and even still now, people are saying, we're bringing you back to the office. And at first it was 2 days a week, 3 days a week, you pick your 2 days, whatever it was, but we created a policy about how we're going to do work now. How well has that gone for most everybody, regardless of what your policy was? How well has it gone? Not so well. Why? Because the situation isn't just clear. There's all these wants, there's all these needs, there's all these new technologies, there's all this experience. And so if we create a policy, what we create unknowingly and unintentionally is a bunch of dominoes that fall in a bunch of directions that we couldn't even have imagined. So I was saying to people during the pandemic, what we need is to think pilot, not policy, which was basically saying, the situation is complex And you might need different things for different parts of your organization, and that should be okay. But we don't know any of it until we try it. We should be trying stuff. And even if you do want to call it a policy, it should have a pretty short expiration or renewal date associated with it. Because here's my sort of paradoxical experience with policy. And that is that everyone who's listening can think of a bunch of policies that didn't go so well, seem misguided, been around way too long. It created things that we didn't want it to create. Policies to most of us as a receiver is kind of like the bane of many of our existences, at least in part, right? And we don't even have to get too cynical to say that.
No, everybody has that shared experience. Yeah.
And yet, when we put our leadership hat on, we say, what? Well, we better build a policy. Remembering that paradox and managing that tension in itself. And you know what? The policies that people don't have any problem with are for things that are clear. But the challenges come when it's complicated or complex.
And you try to provide a policy that doesn't take into account all the things that we don't know or can't know. Yeah.
Exactly. And so we try to oversimplify it in most cases with good intention. And in many cases, by people who built policies in the past that did serve us better because there most everything was known and we could put our arms around the whole thing and it was a clear context.
And when you're talking about the hurricane in the chaotic context, too, the hurricane is not just a hurricane, it's also a metaphor, isn't it? We all face hurricanes.
100%. 100%.
All right. Well, we've been talking about how flexible leaders think and what flexible leadership looks like from a mindset perspective, some of the things we want to be aware of in terms of our intentions, in terms of our understanding why it's a good way to lead, how the decisions we make are dependent on the context, and then what those different contexts look like. In a minute, we're going to start diving into a couple of specific skills to start addressing maybe some of those different contexts we find ourselves in. But before that, I want to remind you, you're listening to Leadership Without Losing Your Soul. I'm your host, David Dye, and our guest today is Kevin Eikenberry, author of Flexible Leadership: Navigate Uncertainty and Lead with Confidence. So, okay, Kevin, so let's go through, and there's more in mindset, by the way. There's a ton more in the 3O model that you've introduced earlier in your career and so forth. And I'm teasing that so that people get the book because it's a very, very valuable way to think. Let's get into some of the skill set a little bit, and say that you're dealing with that complex type of scenario that context that we've just been discussing. There's a lot of unknown unknowns and some of those things. What are
So,
some of the, oh, go ahead.
yeah. So, as we said at the earlier in the conversation, that the third piece of this formula for flexible leadership is what's called a flexor. And we've now hinted at it a bunch of times, but we haven't come right out and said it,
Let's define
right?
it.
And so once we know the context, once we ha our intention is to say, wait a minute, we should, what does this depend on? Should I stop for an instant, an hour, or overnight, or a week to think about the context first? Once we do that, then the question is, okay, I probably need to do something other than what I would normally do. What does that look like? And then that leads to what we call the flexors. So let me just give you an example of one of them that I think is one that is often pretty meaningful to people. If I were to ask you as a listener, I'm going to ask the question and I'll pause for just a second so you can think about it. If I were to ask you as a leader, do you want to lead for commitment or compliance? For mere compliance, or do you want commitment? What do you want? Compliance or commitment? Now, I can't read your minds and you're not in a live session with me, but I've asked that question of hundreds of leaders. And I can tell you that 90 plus percent of the hands that go up for, well, I want to lead for commitment. I want people to be take ownership. I want people to be engaged. Like, I want people to be committed. So my first comment would be, fine. My second comment would be, then why are engagement scores so drastically low and haven't really changed? So we may say we want people to be committed, but our actions aren't often getting us there. And so we're probably actually leading, generally speaking, not any individual one of us, in a way that simply gets people to compliance. Yes, sir. Yes, ma'am. Whatever you say, boss. Right? That's the far end there. And that's not what we want. And the far end of the other one is that people are so engaged. It's just wonderful. And but we may spend so much time focusing on that that we don't get the work done. We're so focused on the needs of the folks and making sure that people are committed and all that stuff. And we all have those cautionary tales in our head. So here's the flexor. Compliance. Commitment. And just like we said earlier about consistency and flexibility, the ends of the spectrum are rarely the right answer. The extremes are rarely the right answer. And yet we likely have a lean in our head. Our natural inclination is to lean one way or the other, right? And there is a difference between what we say we want, commitment, and what we might actually be getting, compliance. But we have something in our head that says, this is the way I lead. And what I'm suggesting is, where do we move? We might need to lean on this flexor based on the context, right? Like, so to our point earlier, in the moment of true chaos, compliance is enough. It's all we need. Not for the next 5 months, but for the next 5 hours, maybe even the next 5 days. Right? We just need people. All we need is people are looking for us to say, tell us which way to go. We will follow you. It's fine. Let's go. Tell us, give us something. And in that moment, we can lean further toward compliance. And yet there are other times, maybe the team, maybe the project is going pretty well, but we're not sure we're going to meet all of our deliverables. And you're pretty clear that there's a whole lot of stuff going on here, right? It's not just one thing that's keeping us from meeting those deliverables. There's a whole bunch of stuff swirling around. Our situation is either complicated or complex. And so guess what? I probably want to lean more in the direction of commitment now. And so maybe I need to find out from the team a little bit more about why do you feel like, or what data do you have, or from your perspective on this project, where are we, and how does that play into the decisions we need to make? Not just me making a decision because I am looking at the data and it says we got to change something. Like in that case, we probably need to flex. And so the idea of the flexors, and again, there are a lot of them in the book, are in a specific situation. You're thinking about a situation, where am I on the context framework? Then how might I flex? Should I be asking more or speaking more? Should I be leaning toward truth or grace? Should I be leaning toward output, outcome, or others? Like we could go right on down. Should I be leaning toward strength or warmth? It's not one or the other. It's the right blend of them, balance of them, if you will, for this moment, managing the tension between those two things. A flexible leader, David, can hold those two tensions in their head at the same time and use that to make a better decision.
I think that's one of the, when you lots of metaphors here, but when you think about being a mature adult human being, that's a way of thinking that can hold two of those different kinds of ideas simultaneously. And, you know, I go back to things like, the Pixar Inside Out movie, and, you know, there's a ton of wisdom in there, and obviously they did their research, but the ability to have two emotions that are concurrent and a both and type situation, and so many different aspects of our leadership. And I just go back to what you said at the beginning. Models and frameworks are useful, they're important, and they do good work if we use them the right way, but it's so darn easy to oversimplify and get rid of all the nuance, and we stop leading in a way that actually makes sense to other human beings.
Yeah, because it somehow is now making sense to us, right? Yeah. And the thing is, there are people listening who have really invested in a model and really wanted to know it and understand it. And that is admirable and wonderful. until you become so expert that that's the only way you see the world. And if that's the only, the old thing, if the only tool you have is a hammer, every problem looks like a nail, right? We have that in some ways is the idea of flexible leadership. We have to open up our mind. We have to think about it in shades of gray, not black and white. And we have to start to think about things in ways that allow us to see that flexing will serve us, serve our team, serve our organization.
All right. So as we're going through these flexors, you just gave us several different examples. There's 19 in the book. And as you said, that's not a limited number. There are obviously more, even that we've been talking about throughout the show here. So we get from our mindset and the ways that flexible leaders think and approach the world, and they have that it depends, but with a real intentionality behind it, not just to throw up our hands, oh, it depends, right? It's an intentional it depends, where we're specifically paying attention to context and choosing the appropriate tools and flexors from there. In the third part of the book, and we don't have a ton of time to get into this, but I want to at least touch on it, is you talk about, so we've got mindset, skill set, and you get into habit set, which I love the word, because those habits. And
Yeah, the editor said it's not really a word. I said it is now.
it is now, and hey, that's the English language, right? If Shakespeare could do it, so can we. Habit set. What do we mean by habit set? And as we get from skill into habit, how do we intentionally do that? Because it's like we had the habit that maybe was too inflexible, wasn't serving us, but now we're building some habits of flexibility. How do we do habits, but in a way that's still flexible?
Well, I yeah, that's right. And there here's the big problem. The big problem is, and you and I have experienced this a lot in our careers, and everyone listening has from the other side of this same thing. You go to a workshop, or you teach a workshop in our case, you teach a workshop, you do a session of some sort, and people are excited. They've got these new tools, they're shiny and new, they're excited about them, and 6 months later, they're dusty and rusty because they never used them. Like, there's a difference between knowing and doing. And the moving from skill set, well, if you don't have new skills, you can't change, you can't apply them. But the moving from skill set to habit set is the move from knowing to doing. Right. And so in the book, here's the other thing. We are really fortunate that people smarter than me over the last 20 years have learned a lot about how habits work and how we create them and how we can consciously work to change them and all that sort of stuff. And the most famous of the folks who have written about that is James Clear in his book Atomic Habits, which I highly recommend, and I talk about in the book. But he's not the only one, and he's in some cases doing a really good job of reporting what the research says, right? And so I just try to make a few points in there to help us think about that. And for our purposes, in the limited time we have left, David, I'll just say that the big habit change, the macro habit change, is being willing to intentionally consider the change, right? Like, to listen to ourselves say, it depends. What does it depend on? And now having a way to go look at that context, right? That to realize that the more we understand context, the smarter we are. And so the biggest of the habit changes is simply to say, let me, right? Whether that's for an instant or an hour or whatever it is, this is not meant to say that now everything becomes overly deliberate, because we could say there's a flexor of fast and slow, right? It's not, we're not, I'm not saying that. What I'm saying is to be, the biggest habit to change is being open to it, the intentionality of considering doing it differently.
So if we
Because
had
if we
one
can get
habit.
that cue, then we've got a chance to say, okay, now I'm going to look at it. I've got a way. I got some tools. I can pull the tools out. I can look at my map, write my framework, and I can go from there.
So the number one habit that we want to invest in to be as flexible leader is that intentionality of considering context.
Yeah, I would say. I mean, because the rest of it then flows from that, right?
Absolutely. Well, and I we'll do a if it's okay with it, do a rapid fire. Everything flows from that in just a moment. But before we do, Kevin, can you tell listeners they want to learn more about the book, get in touch with you, connect, all those good things. Where should they go?
Well, the good news is, if When you can spell my name, you can find us, right? So it's Kevin Eikenberry, KevinEikenberry.com. So you can find everything that we do there. If you put flexible on the end of that, KevinEikenberry.com/flexible, it'll point you to all the different ways that you can go about getting a hold of a copy of the book and the bonuses that you get as you buy more copies. And there are some significant ones. In fact, I would encourage you to just, even if you're an individual leader listening, I'd encourage you to buy two. You can even go to KevinEikenberry.com/buy2, buy numeral two. And why should you buy two? Well, first of all, you get a bunch of bonuses. But the other thing is you have now someone automatically walking alongside of you. So together you can work on building the mindset, skill set, and habit set. Otherwise, it's just yourself. And that's good. But really, having an accountability partner, having a colleague can make a huge difference. So that's that. But the
even call that a thought partner, because being able to say, what context are we facing here? Is this
100%?
Oh, wait, it's that. And be able to bounce that off of each, even if you're an introvert like me, to be able to bounce that off of someone else and really do it together is so helpful.
100%. And the last thing I want to give you all some, I mean, of course, then if you can find my, spell my name, you can find me on LinkedIn and I'd love to have you follow me, connect with me there, all that stuff. But I've got, because you listened to David and I's conversation and you got all the way to the end and you're still here, I think you deserve a gift. So if you go to KevinEikenberry.com/gift, we're going to give you a free gift. So a couple of years ago, I created a masterclass about building confidence in ourselves and others. Certainly we talk about some of the kinds of things we've talked about today, but we really didn't talk a lot about confidence here. But we're going to give you that masterclass. We sell it every day for $79, but not for you. If you go to that link, you can get it for nothing. It's an online masterclass and it's yours for free. And when you go to that same page, KevinEikenberry.com/gift, you'll get some more stuff about the book there too, but it's mostly meant for you to get that gift. And I hope you'll take advantage of that.
I hope so too. And there's lots of resources there for you that you, Kevin, you've just made available. So listeners, please take advantage. Again, that's KevinEikenberry.com. And you get all the, and /gift, all the other things that you know, buy too. You got a lot of slashes to take advantage of there, but get there and take advantage of those. All right, Kevin, let's do one more minute or two. And here we go. So I'm going to suggest, I'm going to ask you for this. I'm going to give you the context. And maybe just give us a couple of bullet points of if you find yourself in this kind of context, we've developed that habit, we're thinking about context, and I'm like, okay, gosh, I'm thinking I'm in a complex context. What are some suggestions that you'd, just some ways to start approaching that?
If our context is complex, we need to step back and we need to talk to other people and get their perspectives. But most of all, not because we're going to automatically come to the perfect answer, but we can come to five things we might be able to try. So the complex context ultimately says, what could we intelligently try, knowing that it might not work, but, and we want to try stuff that doesn't, that can be reversed and that we can keep trying. It's trying and experimenting, whether that's as a group or whether that's just me as a leader. What could I try here? See if this works. Maybe I need to make a shift.
That goes back to what you're saying earlier, pilots, lower risk testing. And then, you know, and you were mentioning this, but it's the paying attention to what we learn from that, right? What are the trends? What are the patterns? There's information there for us to start drawing on.
That's why we're testing, right? We're testing to move, but we're really testing to see. And so if all we do is try and then try and then try and don't reflect and don't capture the data and review the data and experiences, we won't ultimately get better. I mean, it'll only be happenstance if we do.
Just, yeah, luck of the draw. Okay, chaotic. We already talked about chaotic. We're going to command and control is typically a good approach in that situation, communicating directly, clearly. But you also said responding to new information. As it comes in, we're learning, we're making those changes accordingly. Anything else that we'd add on that one?
No, I think that's a pretty good start.
Okay. Let's go over to complicated then. So this is again where there are some things we don't know. We think there might be a way to learn them, but there's some things we definitely don't know.
First thing is to realize that even though you have a lot of expertise, you don't have all of it. And to realize that even though you have a perspective that's useful, the challenge is that we start to believe our own internal headlines, right? We start to say, well, my expertise tells me this. I've done this 61 times. It'll work again. If the situation is complicated, we need to get outside of ourselves. We need to look to other experts, and not just one other expert, but experts, knowing that from that, we can likely get closer to options. We still may need to experiment, but we can get closer to options that we're pretty confident can work once we've done that exploration, whether that's inside of the team, external to the team, or both.
All right. Well, there we go. And clear, we kind of have a default knowledge of that one. So we're not going to take any more time on that one. We are at the end of our time. Kevin, this has been an incredible conversation, and I certainly could keep going, except for we're out of time. So that's where I have to call it. But listeners, grab the book. Go to kevineichenberry.com/gift/buy2. Get your resources. Flexible Leadership, Navigate Uncertainty, and Lead with Confidence is the name of the book. Our guest today has been Kevin Eikenberry. And if you've enjoyed this episode, please make sure to subscribe so you don't miss any of these practical communication skills to help you accelerate your team's performance, reduce stress, build a career with the respect and influence you deserve. Kevin, thank you for sharing your wisdom with us today. I really appreciate that. It's been a pleasure.
It's been my pleasure. I've been looking forward to this, David. Thanks for having me.
It's all of our pleasure. We've gotten so many good tools here. And thank you, as always, to our producer and sound engineer, Brooke Bradford, over at Sheep and Space Digital Business Services, and Laura at Brooke Marketing for their work on this episode. Listener, I hope that you will cultivate, let's start with that mega habit, to intentionally consider the context. Is it clear, complicated, complex, or chaotic? And lead accordingly. Until next time, be the leader you'd want your boss to be.
This podcast is a part of the C-Suite Radio Network. For more top business podcasts, visit c-suiteradio.com.